my heart, when this first happened, my heart hurt so bad, and then it went numb. And then my head got all discombobulated and confused, and then it kind of went blank. And now all that's left is that pit in the bottom, in the top of my stomach, where someone's squeezing and pulling and pulling. All right. And I say, I explain to people, my heart and my head and every other part of me are already with Matthew. And every time I leave Florida, that pit, that squeeze keeps pulling me back. And that's all I feel. That's all that's left. And every time I leave, it pulls me back. Every time I'm there, it's pulling me around the neighborhood. It's pulling me out of my bed early in the morning, keeping me up late at night, you know? So all of me is with Matthew. The only part that isn't is that part that's pulling me toward him.
Welcome back to Missing. I am Tim, here today with Lance. Lance, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty well today, Tim. We got an interesting missing person that we're speaking about in this episode.
Matthew Vetromile went missing out of Orlando, Florida on March 1st, 2021. He was 32 at the time of his disappearance. And in this conversation, Lance, we break down his disappearance with Jennifer Amell. I am excited to speak about this case that was researched by a new researcher for PIs for the Missing. Her name is Amy Weckel, and Private Investigations for the Missing is the nonprofit that we are affiliated with, Lance, and you can check out more about what they do at investigationsforthemissing.org.
Big shout out to Amy for putting all this information together. Really looking forward to working with her on more cases in the future.
But before we do that, let us tell you about Missing Premium. It is our subscription service for this podcast, and you can get every single episode ad-free. All right, everybody, thanks a lot for listening. Please follow Missing CSM on social media.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And we'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors. And a thank you to our sponsors. Back to the program.
Welcome back to the podcast. Jennifer Amell, how are you today?
I am very well. Thank you for having me back on Missing. Wow. What to say about this case? I just ask that you guys bear with us as we get through this one. There's a lot of information. Some of it's conflicting, depending on who the information comes from. But I got to speak to Matthew's cousin, Natasha, and his mother, Carla. So let's get into it.
All right.
You said before we started recording to buckle up, which I don't think you've ever said that to us before. Buckle up. So what are some of the reasons why we should buckle up before we get into it?
So three reasons. We're dealing with multiple locations. A person who unfortunately has some mental health and addiction issues, which kind of muddies the water in terms of like what stories are being told. Matthew also experienced some homelessness and he was kind of bouncing around at different places in New York and then down in Florida. And after his disappearance, there's been some arguing amongst the family, specifically amongst his cousin, Natasha, and Matthew's mother, Carla, they kind of disagree about what work is being done on Matthew's case, and we'll hear from the both of them, and hopefully we can get to some semblance of truth through this.
Okay. So we got a combination of personalities, locations, and substance abuse problems and mental health issues that we're all going to try to navigate our way through. All right. Yeah, great work to the team over there, Private Investigations for the Missing, and great work to Amy for putting this one together.
Yeah, thank you, Amy Weckel, for the assistance on this one.
My name is Carla Vetramile, and I am Matthew Vetramile's mother. He's my oldest son. He likes to rap, likes to make like rap songs up, and he's very, very good at it, actually. A few people have told him he's got quite a talent for it. Very sweet guy. Would give you the shirt off his back. I was telling my daughter just the other night that he, he's been homeless a few times, just because of a lot to do with the drug use and a lot to do with not being able to handle his episodes. And we're driving in the car, and he sees a homeless man on the corner, with the sign asking for money. And I think he pulls out of his pocket like $1.32 and tells me, "Mom, stop the car." So I stop and he runs over and he hands it to him. He goes, "Hey, I know the struggle, man. Here you go." And I'm like, "Man, what did you give him?" And he told me, I'm like, "Is that all you got?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "And you gave it to him?" I'm like, that is just so, you know what I mean? That's so sweet.
Matthew was 32 years old when he went missing on March 1st of 2021. He was born June 11th, 1988, about 5'8 and 180 pounds, white guy with brown hair and brown eyes.
Matthew has a small scar on the back of his head. He also has a tattoo on the inner area of his right arm of playing cards and dice. And on his right bicep, he has a tattoo of an Italian flag and an American flag with the poles crossing.
Born in 1988, Matthew Vetramile, Matty by his friends and Boog by his mom, is from Rush, New York, a suburb of the Rochester area, and is proud of his Italian-American heritage. He's also a fan of the Dallas Cowboys. And Matthew suffers from bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, PTSD, borderline personality disorder, severe anxiety, and severe depression, and has battled addiction with the apparent support of his family for a majority of his life.
Yeah, I want to jump in here on those various mental health disorders that Matt experienced. I don't think they're all diagnoses given to him by a psychiatrist or psychologist. I believe schizophrenia was an actual diagnosis, but they were kind of speculating that he might suffer from these other things as well.
And it says that he had the apparent support of his family for the majority of his life. Were they providing him assistance in the sense of financial assistance, a place to stay, maybe supporting him when he went into rehab and taking him to and from doctor's appointments?
That's a complicated answer, and we'll hear from Carla. She'll weigh in on what was going on in Matt's life before his disappearance and before his move to Florida. But basically, the gist of it is that he battled addiction for a really long time. Because of that, he couldn't really hold down a job or a place of residence. So yeah, he stayed with his mom. He stayed with other family members. His mom definitely gave him money. I mean, it got to the point where she said she couldn't really give him money anymore, but would take him out to eat regularly, make sure, he had the necessities. But it got to the point where his addiction got so bad that he was stealing from his family. And I think it was hard for his family to support him through that.
He has a problem with crack. I'm sure he does other things as well, but that is the one that has caused major problems.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's a difficult addiction to break too.
Yes. And I'm sure it became an addiction because of his illnesses. where in a span of 3 months, I called and had him mental hygiene arrested 19 times. Oh, and gosh. Each time they let him go that very day.
Wow.
You know, yeah. And it's very sad. You know, the worst thing about that is that it did come to a point where I had no choice but to kick him out, or I was going to be kicked out of my apartment as well. I mean, now in hindsight, I wish I would have left and gone somewhere with him, but that would have been without my fiance because they had issues. I mean, it sounds terrible, and the guilt of this is really, really, really getting on me these days. I'm his mother. I should have got him and gotten our own apartment and just taken care of him, but I didn't. And that's eating me alive.
And Matthew grew up living next door to his cousin, Natasha. She described the family as mostly ignoring his drug addiction and mental health issues and not really accepting that he needed help.
I am Natasha. I'm Matthew Betramile's cousin. We grew up when we were much younger. We lived side by side. His parents lived on one side. My parents lived on another side. So we kind of grew up that way. As he got older, we were all still close. He had some mental health issues, and he started having drug addiction issues. A lot of the family just couldn't really deal with it, you know?
So this is another one of those areas where the opinion of the family kind of differs. Based on what Natasha said, she said like his family basically threw him out. And that was corroborated a bit by Carla, but she kind of elaborated on the nuance of that situation. They really did try to help him. His family really did try to help him, but it became like very, very difficult because of his need to like take things from people's homes in order to get money to support the drug habit. So it's not that his family didn't care. It's just that they didn't know what to do.
And Matthew attended Rush Henrietta Senior High School in Henrietta, New York from 2002 to 2006. And after high school, Matthew tried to continue his studies through local community colleges, but it's unclear if he ever completed a program and received a degree. Areas of study that interest Matthew include alcohol and substance abuse counseling, business administration and management, and security management. And by 2009, Matthew was a father to a little girl named Mariella, and it's unclear to us who the mom is. And unfortunately, in 2012, Matthew was arrested and convicted of second-degree assault, crime class D.
So yeah, Matthew was convicted of a second degree assault. Class D is on the lesser serious of felonious charges. I think it begins with an A1, and that's like the most serious kind of offense. But Matthew ended up serving about 2 years for this charge, and he served also like a year of parole after that.
And once out on parole in 2014 or 2015, Matthew's life started looking up again. He fell in love with Ashley Brunette, and Matthew and Ashley got engaged in 2014.
And right around this time, Matthew apparently was working two jobs. It's unclear whether these jobs were concurrent. One of them was as a sales representative at the Home Depot, and the second was as a labor operator at the Four Seasons Landscaping and Water Gardens. He received a raise at one of these jobs in 2015 and purchased a used black Chevy Cruze, and then subsequently moved with Ashley to Greece, New York, and Matthew continued to work and pursue his studies. And it appears that during the course of all of this, Matthew posted a lot to Facebook. He was very outspoken with his status updates, correct?
Yeah, that's what it seems like. He was posting a lot around 2015 and then kind of dropped off the map. I mean, it's a little hard to tell with these things in the research process because, of course, we can't friend request missing persons. So maybe the time, like part of the timeline is hidden from us, but that's what it seemed like. He could have changed his privacy settings too, so I'm not sure.
And in 2016, Matthew and Ashley found out they were expecting a baby boy that they would name Connor. And unfortunately, Matthew's mental health struggles continued. And although Matthew refers to Ashley as his wife on Facebook in November of 2016, their relationship and Matthew's mental health seems to be deteriorating around that time.
And it appears, especially in 2016, in October of 2016, that he had a lot of posts about his family and how much he cared for them and how much he was struggling with his addictions, but he was determined to see them through. And there's one here that says, you know, life can be difficult and I've made many mistakes. It seems like he's owning up to all of these issues that he has and coming to terms with them and publicly stating that he is committed to working things out. I guess my question is, do you think that Matthew was posting these so that he would, in a way, set himself up to achieve these goals that he is putting out there to the public? He's saying that he's going to do better and he's going to be a father to his children. If he's not putting them out there to the public, is it really something that he's committed to? Just an opinion.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it definitely speaks to the fact that in 2016, it seems like the birth of his son really gave him the energy and the strength to try to get clean and make a better life for himself and his family. It definitely, I mean, there's all these posts here, like saying that, thank God I got a second chance at life. Connor is my saving grace. Like, he was using that as like a springboard into sobriety, which I think is really important. And I also think it's unfortunately common that addicts like get the energy and the strength to get clean and like everything seems to be looking up and then unfortunately kind of relapse. And the people who do end up being sober for a long time like have to go through many periods of time where they're like trying to get clean, they relapse, they get clean, they relapse again. It's like it's a common kind of pattern in addictive behavior.
Yeah, and he talks about having bipolar disorder here and having dreams from the medication. He says here, trying to separate his dreams from reality can be very difficult. I think that's what he's trying to say in one post from October 5th, 2016. Also in that same month, he kind of, he does speak out to Mariella's mom, but sort of blames her for not... actually, he blames her for using Mariella as a pawn so that he can't see her. So it does seem like he's talking to, you know, he's trying to communicate through social media.
Yeah, and you never know, like, how much truth is on either side, too. Because if they were going through, like, a custody battle and Matthew is an addict, like, the mother could very well be like, well, I can't let you see our daughter because you're going through this type of thing.
I feel like they just have a really interesting pattern to them. His posts always start off with how much most of the posts that we're looking at start off with his children. And then it goes into something a little bit more, I don't want to say negative, but it goes into the more challenging parts of his life. And it kind of comes back around to his children again. Like, no matter what happens though, I'll always be your dad or I'll always, you know, be there for you.
And in February of 2021, Matthew was trying to get his life back on track and was staying in a sober living PHP program. PHP is an abbreviation for partial hospitalization program. And this type of addiction treatment program is more involved than intensive outpatient, but less so than full inpatient or residential rehab. And compared to intensive outpatient, partial hospitalization requires more visits and sessions per week. And according to the program, Matthew was clean for almost 30 days as of February 2021.
And by March of 2021, although publicly Matthew was in search of a fresh start and relocated to Orlando, Florida, there was actually an incident involving his mother's boyfriend in Rochester, New York, causing him to run to avoid the charges.
I mean, he went upstairs and, well, first he broke in the house. And then he snuck away my keys somehow from my car. And then he stole my car and two of my fiance's shotguns. And he brought them to the city and, you know, traded them for crack. And then brought the car back with a broken window and still came back into the house and snuck up into his room, used to be his room upstairs, and went to sleep. It was crazy. When it happened, you know, Mike was like, do I press charges? You know, he had to report it because it was guns. Mm-hmm. So he had to report it to the police in case these guns came up in a crime. And then he looked at me while the police were still there and he's like, well, do I want to do a report? Because they had asked him. or press charges. And I told him, you know, Mike, at this point, it's up to you. Because it had been, like I said, it has not been the first time. It was, he's stolen from Mike many times. So Mike did press charges. Mm-hmm. And all I could do was, you know, I called Matthew and warned him. And he was like, he did? And I'm like, well, Matt, you know, you can only expect Mike to give so much. You know what I'm saying? At some point, he's got to tell you this is not going to be acceptable anymore. You know, you can't keep doing it. So he, I think at first he took off and went to Buffalo. And he spent some time in Buffalo, New York. And then he got really scared, I guess, because the police had came and talked to him. They didn't bring him in because of our new bail law here, which is ridiculous. But they didn't bring him in. They wanted me to go get him and bring him in a couple of days. And I'm like, okay. So, yeah, no, I'm not doing your job for you. But I told them, okay. So, you know, he was just in such, he was so scared. He just took off and hopped on a bus, went to Florida, went to like a rehab place out there, met this girl.
And Matthew bounced around Central Florida for a while upon relocating, but remained close to his mother, Carla, his sister, Amanda, and brother, Joshua, by phone, calling almost daily prior to his disappearance, despite the distance.
I think the longest I went without talking to him was a day and a half. Oh. And then I would get, Mommy, I'm so sorry I didn't call. Because, you know, he and my other children know. I have to talk to you every single day if I don't see you. You know, I have to know you're okay or I can't rest. It's just how my family is, you know. I don't know if it's because we're Italian or what, but, you know, it's just how we are. You know, if I don't answer my mother's phone calls, she lives right down the road. She came to my house on a Sunday morning at 6:30 in the morning, banging on my door, asking me what the heck I was doing. She has to know that I'm okay. And for him to not call, he would never do that to me. I mean, he has been cracked up downtown here, homeless, in the middle of winter without a phone, and found a way to call me three times a day. So there is no possible way he is out there alive, able to call me and not doing it.
And in August of 2020, he started a relationship with a woman named Keisha Cash.
She seems to be like, I don't know. Oh, gosh, how could I say? She's very free with herself. Seems to be very nice and on the outside, you know, in front of you. But she's very, what would they call it, vindictive or like two-faced. Like she'll say one thing and then behind your back do another. Like she would treat Matt really good if I was on the phone. But then as soon as I hung up, it was a whole different story. Like she'll act like she's all for other people and helping people out and doing for others, but she's not, you know, she tried to make it look that way with Matt and his issues and everything. But the minute the phone was down, you know, it was all against him, no matter what he was going through and all about her and what she's going. And after rehab, they were like bouncing around from hotel to hotel, her mom's house. And 8 months into that is when he disappeared.
So basically, this is it. Matt was dating Keisha during the time he disappeared. I guess they were like off and on. She was an alcoholic. Obviously, he had mental health and drug addiction issues. They were in and out of hotels, living in and out of rehabs. At one point, I do believe they did live with her mother, Lisa, at their house. But during the time, he was about March 1st, from our understanding, but we quite can't get a clear answer. Prior to him going missing, we believe he was in rehab. And when he was released from rehab, per Keisha sending mom some text messages, stated that she picked him up from rehab and she put him in the hotel, the same hotel that he went missing from. And then when he went missing, she just had 20,000 stories. And even a year later, she has 20,000 stories. Like, she can't keep a state story at all.
And we'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
And a thank you to our sponsors. Back to the program.
And Matthew's last social media post was a picture of him and Keisha on February 4th, 2021. The day Matthew went missing was Monday, March 1st, 2021. It was a typical spring day in Orlando with temperatures in the mid-80s and no rain.
And according to Matthew's cousin, Natasha, Matthew tried to connect via text with his mom, sister, and brother about 17 times between 2 a.m. and 3 a.m., saying he wanted to come home. It seemed at this time he was experiencing a bit of a mental break and was upset because Keisha was going to stay at her mom's instead of at the Monumental Movie Land Hotel on the I-Drive just southwest of Orlando, where they were long-stay residents.
Yeah, so I've heard a couple things about this motel that they were staying at. It seems that Matthew and Keisha were kind of on the fritz. They were having a lot of arguments. And I have heard that Keisha rented Matthew his own hotel room, and she also had her own room. So there's two rooms rented at this motel. But on the night in question, apparently they were partying together, and he was staying in Keisha's room. But it's kind of hard to make that out. I don't believe there's actually a record of Matthew's name at that hotel. So, I mean, this is where we start to get into the weeds and a lot of the various facts that are conflicting in this case.
But the one common denominator was that he was upset, regardless of whether or not it was because Keisha was going to stay at her mom's rather than the hotel. He was upset.
Yes, correct.
And there's some insight into Matthew's mind on that morning. He sent a text using Keisha's cell phone. He sent it to Amanda, his sister, at 7:36 a.m. It appears like it could be talk to text. Punctuation is lacking, but he says that, you know, I might not be the best brother in the world and not the best boyfriend, you know, or the best of friends, but I want to stick by my family, and I couldn't do that. And I do not want this relationship to end in shambles. I don't want to be that guy or worse than my dad. So you know what happened. Please do your best. Always remember, no matter what comes in front of you, you are smart, loyal. I am loyal. Just talk too much. So I need to let Uncle Flacco's know I gave no names. And he already knows that. But I do talk too much as about what he had done for me and how. But I believe it can all work.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting message. I don't know what he's referring to about his Uncle Flacco and what names he's referring to. But apparently this is in response to him asking his sister Amanda for some money. Amanda was actually the payee with his Social Security benefits. She was what's called a Social Security representative payee.
And Matthew fell out of touch that same day following an 11:30 a.m. phone call with his sister that Matthew made with Keisha's phone. And again, this is very out of character from Matthew, who would regularly walk up to strangers and ask to borrow their phone so that he could check in with his family. I guess that's how frequently he checked in with his family.
And according to Keisha, she has positioned herself to be the last person to see Matthew on March 1st. But her story apparently keeps changing a bit. Now, in the research, this seems to be the spot where there's a lot of crossed wires and it gets a little bit muddy. Where do we begin with this?
So remember, Matthew is communicating through Keisha's phone, but according to Keisha, he's no longer with her. So Keisha's texting Carla on the evening of March 1st. At 6:44 p.m., Carla texted to check in with them. Now she's texting Keisha's phone. Keisha didn't respond until 9:09 p.m., saying she doesn't know where Matthew went, but that he was upset following her diagnosis of stage 2 cancer that afternoon.
She ended up lying even to Matthew, saying that she had stage 2, pancreatic cancer or something like that. And, you know, Matthew was very upset. They were both very upset. You know, he's like, I can't believe it, Mom. What am I going to do? And I'm like, you know, well, you just do what you do. You be there for her. But she doesn't want to be with me anymore because they were, you know, had been broken up for a couple of days. So she didn't want him around, but he used this appointment as a way to get back in. You know, well, you can't go to the appointment alone. Let me go with you.
Keisha does not have stage 2 cancer. I don't know why she would have made something like that up, if maybe she thought she did, but like that's a very serious diagnosis. It may have been made to manipulate Matthew and keep him kind of in her orbit if he felt sorry for her. She was a pretty dominating personality in Matthew's life at this moment, and she would say whatever she had to say to keep Matthew kind of helping her. I don't know if that's the best way to say it, but that's what the relationship seems like.
The diagnosis of stage 2 cancer, I mean, I guess that made Matthew upset, but you're saying that she never got a diagnosis of stage 2 cancer?
No, so this is one of many stories that Keisha tells. But I think according to Carla, she had heard from Matt the previous day saying that he was really upset about Keisha getting this diagnosis. So I think we have it confirmed from Matt himself that Keisha told him she had this diagnosis. We later find out that she doesn't have cancer at all. So I have no idea what that was about.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, if it's not true, it seems like a total deflection to the point of where Matthew went.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really have anything to do with his disappearance because they had this conversation before his disappearance. And I think because Matthew had communicated this to his mother, that he was really worried and everything, maybe that might shed some light on what an argument could have been between the two of them.
And what was Carla's response to this? Did she text back? Did she try to call?
Yeah. She called a million times and Keisha didn't answer.
So they both had a room in the same hotel, but he had gone back to her room with her. And when he was on the phone, he was explaining to me all this stuff. And I hear her in the background saying, give me my effing phone. And he's like, okay, Mom, I got to go. I'm like, Matt, well, wait a minute. No, Mom, I got to go. I got to go. I got to go. And, you know, real fast, like, I got to go. I got to go. And it sounded, you know, like she was coming toward him. You know, I could hear, you know, and all of a sudden the phone clicked. And then I try to call back, no answer. Call back, no answer. Okay. I had to go to work. I go to work. During work, I called probably 3-4 times, no answers. Finally, that night, like about 9:30 at night, I called and she answered. And I'm like, well, what the heck is going on? She's like, oh, I just woke up. I don't know. What are you talking about? I'm like, well, where's Matt? She's like, I don't know. He took off. So what do you mean he took off? She said, well, he's not here. We laid down earlier after the doctor because we were both real upset. And, you know, we wanted to take a nap. So we fell asleep and now he's gone. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, well, were you fighting when you laid down? Were you guys okay? Were you crying? Were you talking? She's like, oh, no, we were fine. You know, he was really upset about my cancer and, you know, he's just here lay with me and we both just drifted off to sleep. But now, you know, I woke up and he's gone and all his stuff is gone.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsor.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Thanks to our sponsors, and now we're back to the program.
But Keisha also says that her mother's name is Lisa. Apparently, Lisa picked Keisha up in front of the hotel after her appointment, and Keisha did not respond to questions from Carla regarding whether Matthew was at the hotel when she was picked up by her mother, or what time they separated. So that said, Lisa, Keisha's mother, her story about that day conflicts with Keisha's story. There's a text where Lisa states, "We," in quotes, "didn't know Matt was missing until Carla told Keisha." Lisa then mentions that Matt may have stolen their truck, possibly Keisha's tan Chevy Trailblazer, because he owed some drug dealers money and he had bought drugs from them while in that truck during a previous transaction. But then the truck was found after Matt disappeared, I guess, or the truck may have never been missing. So this is another one of those, like, well, he stole the truck. Oh, wait, no, he didn't. We got the truck back. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
And is it drug dealing etiquette to always show up in the same vehicle when you're paying drug dealers?
You tell us, Lance.
Like, I can't go pay my drug dealer because it's not the same truck that I bought the drugs, that I got the drugs in the first time?
Yeah, so she's kind of also trying to set up that there might be some danger involved with Matthew's activities and using a truck that had been, I guess, seen by some dangerous people.
I honestly don't know what the truck has to do with all of this because they got the truck back and Matt is not returned, so.
Yeah.
Concerning this drug deal, so Keisha's story about the, like, Matt owing money to drug dealers in the area has changed a lot too. So at first, she described these dealers and gave names, and she said that these two were African American, and then later changed her story that they were Puerto Rican and had gang affiliations.
And she said that Matt owed two dealers $1,000, which is bullshit. I'm sorry, bullshit. There's no dealers out here that's going to front an attic that has no income other than SSI, and he's homeless, in and out of hotels, $1,000 worth of drugs. Bullshit. Bull. And we've spoken to the dealers, and recently one of the dealers came forward and said that he wanted to speak to the detective and the mother because he has nothing to do with what's going on. He doesn't know where Matt is. He said, yeah, he knows Matt. He knows Keisha. They used to come get weed from him. They always had money. He wants his name cleared. And the other dealer's got 20,000 stories, so it doesn't really know But he's saying Matt didn't owe him either.
Well, Keisha must have filed a missing person report, right? Immediately?
She claims to have filed a missing persons report on that day, on March 1st. But when Carla arrives in Orlando 8 to 9 days later to search for Matthew, she found out that no report had been filed.
And a few days prior to Matthew's disappearance, he crashed at someone's house where he left a bag or suitcase containing his belongings.
From our understanding, he met Matt on the street when he was homeless and offered Matt a room to take a shower, offered Matt to sleep in his room and to smoke with him. And he said that he told Matt he would hold his bag for him because Keisha's peoples were upset with Matt due to his behavior. What that means to this day, we do not know. He, from our understanding, before Matt went missing, he did not give Matt back his suitcases. But then he's saying he did give Matt his suitcases, but we don't really have evidence if he did or if he didn't.
And that was the last time they say they saw Matthew. And Matthew was not driving a tan Chevy Trailblazer at the time of this supposed meeting. And the bag suitcase has not been located. And this person also stated, quote, as far as his girlfriend peoples, I don't know what happened, just that they was upset because of behavior, 3 exclamation points, end quote.
So there's even more conflicting stories from Keisha. She claims she had picked up Matthew from rehab that day and drove him back to the motel. Apparently, he got upset and left because Keisha was going to stay at her mom's instead of the hotel with him, and she wanted to go back to rehab so she could get her kids back, but he was against it. But that doesn't really make sense because, according to that story, Matthew was just in rehab trying to get clean, so why wouldn't he want Keisha to also get clean? But as of February 2022, this story has evolved to include that Keisha gave him $50 for bus fare so he could return to New York. But according to Carla, she looked into this. There's no record of him taking a bus. He wasn't on any kind of manifest. And apparently, in Orlando, you can't pay for a bus with cash. You have to have a card.
That's interesting. Well, that's good work on her end.
It's also much more than $50 to take a bus from Orlando to New York.
Now, Jen, as if this couldn't get any more convoluted, we have to introduce a new character. Can you tell us a little bit about this man named Eric?
Yes. So this was mentioned by Matthew's cousin, Natasha. So in her work to uncover more information on Matthew's disappearance, she started to get threatening messages online from a guy named Eric. He's kind of a scary dude. He's seems to be into, like, bikes, might be in a biker gang, and he seems to be a white supremacist. Natasha was quick to point out that she is Hispanic and felt very racially threatened by this man. But here's the story about Eric. So supposedly he was obsessed with Keisha and tried to control her, get back in her life. He was trying to insinuate himself with her kids and with her, the father of her children, Chad. Apparently, he got Chad jumped while he was in prison for whatever reason. But he wouldn't leave Keisha's mom alone either. And he showed up to her house and job occasionally. And Eric found out about Matt when he and Keisha were staying at her mom's house. So Matt also supposedly answered Keisha's phone when he called and told Eric that they were together. So Eric was aware of their relationship.
Okay, and is this Eric person real?
I have no idea.
Okay, so we know that Natasha received messages that were at least somewhat threatening in nature, but do we know that Keisha actually dated a guy named Eric who was a white supremacist and who could get people jumped in prison?
I mean, this is kind of double hearsay because Natasha received these messages. I don't believe she ever met Eric in person, but she did connect with Keisha or Carla. I'm not sure who gave her information on who Eric was, but according to Keisha, it was a guy who was, like, obsessed with her and was insinuating himself in her life, and maybe Keisha was trying to point fingers at this guy Eric, like he had something to do with Matt's disappearance. But yeah, I really don't understand the introduction of Eric in all of this. it could be possible that Eric is not a real person.
Yeah, I mean, if Eric is a real person, I think that's interesting. It says that Matt also supposedly answered Keisha's phone at one point when Eric called, and Matt apparently told him that he and Keisha were together. So again, if that's not true, that's so highly suspect. But if it is true, then, you know, this is definitely a an interesting lead, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, all of these stories, all of this information has one source, and that's Keisha. And based on her ability to flat out lie like she had stage 2 cancer when she did not, kind of speaks to what she is willing to do and say to confuse the narrative here.
And by April 30th, almost 2 months after Matthew went missing, Keisha's story was that Matthew was off his meds that day. They were both upset about her cancer diagnosis, so they went to the liquor store. And Matthew is not a drinker, apparently, but he bought some Fireball for himself and vodka for her, and they both got trashed and took a nap. They woke around 6 p.m., got something to eat, and went back to the hotel to chill and watch TV. They went to sleep, and he was gone the next morning.
Yeah, so most of his stuff was gone. However, Carla said that she had saved up money to buy Matthew like this really nice shaving kit for him. It was a pretty expensive shaving kit, and this was left in the hotel room. I'm not sure about his other belongings, if there's other stuff there, but she mentioned that specifically because her experience with Matthew and his behavior in the past is that if he was in the midst of a relapse and he was out of money, he would sell whatever he had of value to get drugs. So there's no way he would have left something of value if he planned on leaving, was her point.
It does seem like Carla's doing a whole lot to bring attention to Matthew's disappearance, including a GoFundMe page, and she also contacted private investigations for the missing.
Yeah, so here's another point of contention between Natasha and Carla. Natasha has questioned a lot of Carla's decisions. When Carla goes on a search, she doesn't post pictures or tell anybody where she went to search. And Natasha was suspicious of that, thinking that Carla was just using whatever GoFundMe money to like go down to Florida and have a vacation. So then I talked to Carla, and Carla addressed this like head on. She was like, I know what people are saying out there. It's none of their business what I'm doing. She said, I'm out there as much as I can searching for my son. I've gone up to like strangers in a back alley. I've talked to dangerous people. I've put my life at risk trying to find my son. So it's unfortunate that the family has like divided along these lines about what the best way to go about searching for Matthew is. But I really believe Carla is doing everything in her power to find her son.
And a lot of people don't know a lot because the mother doesn't say anything. It's all kept a secret. And then the mom and the sister still talk to Keisha. They're still friends on Facebook with her, which is mind-boggling to thousands of people. And that's why a lot of people don't want to help us, is because they look at it as like, that person was last seen with your son. Everything that goes on with Matt's case, whether it's a fundraiser, a search or something, she's got access to the family, to their Facebooks. When he first went missing, every page we put Matt on, she was adding herself to it. So if this was missing Western New York people, right after he's posted, she's being added. It was just, until this day, she still does the same thing. It's got to the point where a lot of us had to literally block her. But again, the mother and the sister are still friends with her. So it makes it odd for people wanting to help us, because they're like, hey, all these people are saying this about her and what's going on. But then wait, the mom and sister are cool with her. Maybe they may have reasoning why they're communicating with her, but not in a mean way. It's been a year. She ain't telling you guys shit. I'm sorry. She's not telling you guys nothing. And if she did, she would have told you already. And if she's involved or she's not involved, or if she knows who's involved, you're giving them 10 steps every time ahead of them. They were 10 steps ahead of this from day one. And it doesn't, you know, make sense to me and 1,000 other people. But that's their choices, you know. they want to continue. You know, they say that the detective tells them to be friends with her or the PI tells them. But honestly, if that was my kid, I would have cut her off from day one. From day one.
I believe this woman either had something to do with or knows what happened to my son. Why am I going to start bashing her or letting other people bash her? That's going to push her away from me. No, I want her right here. I want her open, talking with me, crying to me. I want her to get drunk and cry to me. You know what I'm saying? One day she's going to tell me something because she's a mother too. And one day that guilt is going to hit. Okay, and I'm going to be her friend right up until it does. Whether or not people in my family understand that, at this point, I could care less. You know, I try to tell them that this is me. This is mine. This is not yours. I know he's your family too, but this is my child. This case, this whatever is done to find him, if you're going to go on and you're going to say things to hinder it or to interfere in any way, then you need not say anything. If you don't agree with anything I'm doing, but I don't care. I don't. You know, this is my son, and whatever I have to do that I think is worth doing, that's what I'm going to do.
But might I say that she contacted Private Investigations for the Missing to feature her son? So there's that. I mean, that's a platform where we talk about missing persons to raise the visibility. And she did that knowing that there was all this talk about her and maybe her misappropriation of the GoFundMe money. So she's not hiding anything. She contacted a media outlet to feature her son.
Yeah. And I think like a lot of the things that can be interpreted as Carla being cagey about things and not sharing things with friends and family and the public who cares about Matthew is, I mean, she's not incredibly technologically savvy. When she submitted Matthew's case to us, I did have a hard time getting in contact with her. There's so much that you have to do when someone goes missing. I mean, who knows how to contact media if something like this has never happened to you before? If you've never had to use Zoom, who knows how to, like, that's a huge learning curve. So what my point is that all of these things kind of appear as if Carla is not doing a good job, but she is.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think it's an enormous task to take on, being an advocate, especially of a family member of a loved one who went missing. It's no small task.
She's the only one in Florida that knows or could possibly know what happened to him that I know. Why am I going to cross off that communication?
I understand your reasoning for keeping Keisha in your life, but does it cause you pain to do so?
It doesn't cause me pain. No, it doesn't, because and I don't feel guilty about it or nothing because I know what I'm doing and I know why I'm doing it. And I know that if Matthew knew, he would be proud of me for doing it. And he would love that I'm doing it for him. What my son will think is that, look at my mother. She went out there and she went all by herself for her son, for me. For someone who I thought nobody loved me and nobody cared, and look what she did for me. That's what my son would think. He would be honored to be loved that much.
If you have any information on Matthew Vetramiel's disappearance, please call law enforcement at 407-246-2470.
And to contact Private Investigations for the Missing, you can visit their website, investigationsforthemissing.org. You can also submit a tip by calling 866-331-6660, or you can email PIFTMtips@gmail.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.